Mike.
Hello. John.
Hello, I'm John.
I'm Mike.
Welcome to All Yesterday's Parties. This is an actual episode as opposed to an ATP special. So, just before we get down to business, I've got a couple of things.
Show me both of them.
So, a couple of weeks ago, we had Eurovision.
Yes.
I haven't watched Eurovision in years.
I haven't not watched Eurovision in years. I make a point of always at least trying to catch it, because although I do recognise it is nonsense, it is the most wonderful nonsense.
I was really impressed with the staging.
Staging was one of the best in a long while.
Yeah.
It's a shame that the acts didn't. John, you're going to have to stop drinking while I'm dropping witticisms, otherwise you will just choke to death.
I know.
That's the third time in a row you've almost sent cider out your nose.
Well, it's like a shtick I like to try and do on podcasts, is I like to try and audibly
choke to death.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So watch out for that in coming weeks.
For the viewers at home. For
the viewers in the past or the future.
That was a nice little callback in the very first podcast. On what, a third episode, we're already doing callbacks.
Yes!
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I mean, there was an awful lot of guff. And
guff?
Guff.
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 Right. I didn't remember much guff. There was a bit of emo.
But yeah.
But there was guff, though. So too many weary ballads. If I'm watching a pop contest, I want to see some pop. Man.
I thought, in that regard, Spain did very well.
I was very drunk, so I can't remember a lot of the... I remember liking Russia, partly because of their performance, climbing up that wall and all that.
That was mind-bending. I thought I'd stopped concentrating at one point during Russia's performance. It was as if I'd walked out of a room and came back and, hang on, is he standing up or is he lying down?
Kind of like, yeah, you've just got to bind your head on the way back from the box or something. You're like,
is he lying down?
Yeah, that was,
because it looked like he was doing that on the floor.
Yeah.
And then the camera moved slightly.
It was up a wall.
It was up.
Yes. Yeah, that was very cool. I mean, the song was all right.
Yeah.
Which is high praise compared to a lot of the absolute tragic bomb.
Spain was the act that followed Russia. It was very poppy.
Yeah, so that probably would have meant that I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
We were grading them 1 to 10 throughout the night, and no one got above a 7. Russia got a 7, partly for the staging. And I think the very first act of the night, I originally gave a 6, which I then upgraded to a 7 because of how tragic everyone else was. And that, I believe, was Belgium.
I think it was.
It was a pretty straightforward number. Not much razzmatazz, you know, some fairly silly, colourful outfits and a bit of funk to it. But by the end of the night, I was thinking back to that. It was like a glorious heyday of European pop.
I was seeing a lot of retrospective love for Belgium. Mm.
But remember back in the day. I was hammered, though. Cause,
do you remember when we started this programme and we were optimistic?
Yes! Dear Lord. But I was hammered because Laura, my wife, she way overspent on a big Asda shop on booze and various accoutrements. We had Blue Bowls and Triple Sec and bleeding grenadine. We've never had grenadine before.
Looking at it wearily from the other end of the room, like, we've got to drink this.
But yeah, we made quite a variety of cocktails. Started off sensibly using a cocktail app to actually make, you know, named cocktails, but by the end of it we're like, what is this going to look like? Oh, it looks brown. Shall we move on to the next topic of business?
I will say, with the Ukraine entry that won, I can see why it might have resonated with people, because it was a very heartfelt piece.
Yes. It was. I can salute the passion and the premise.
Yes.
But the pop was pure.
The pop is paramount.
The pop should be paramount, but it was pure.
Yes.
The politics were present and the pop was pure. I actually felt a bit sad on Australia because they weren't awful. I think they came out at about a 5 on our fairly brutal rating system, which put them above at least half of the competition.
tune. It was a good song, and it was very well sung.
Sorry, it was alright. I think the quality of the singing was better than the quality of the song.
Yes. So, I've just got one more thing to drop on you before we talk.
Drop it like it's hot.
And this is hot. I discovered...
I'll be the judge of that someday.
3 weeks ago, I discovered that beef has a plural.
Beef?
Yes.
So it's not just beefs?
No, no. It's beeves.
Beeves. I have, actually, I've heard the phrase... Actually, in Fallout 3. No.
Really?
Fallout New Vegas. Or was it Fallout? No, it was Fallout New Vegas. That's outside of Novak. There's a couple who heard Brian, and they refer to them as two-headed beeves.
Well, there we go.
So there we go.
I was just like, but I absolutely blew my mind when I read it. Like,
that is interesting.
The plural of beef is beeves.
How would you pluralise beef?
I don't
so
know.
So it's just a quantity of beef. You don't have a multiple of beef.
Or maybe if you've got multiple problems with a thing.
These beeves is getting me down.
Hello, 3 customer service. What's your beeves? So, I just start to wonder what other meats might have, plural.
Well, we'll throw that open to the listeners.
Yeah.
What plural would you imagine for various meat products?
Yeah, give us your meat product plurals. Tweet them to AYP Podcast. And we'll
do the Facebook thing that we're on there as well. Yeah, and Tumblr as well.
Tumblr, yeah.
Or if you know us, just, you know, shout at us in the street or something. Or if you don't know us, then, you know, we'll pay as much attention.
Yeah, just throw a brick through the window with a note.
That'll do, yeah.
Right, so, to business. So, we have moved to a slightly different venue. as you might tell from the lack of background hubbub.
There was a lot of hubbub.
Good old Bridge Street Ale.
Yeah, it's a cracking venue, but it does occasionally have other people.
Yeah.
And that does lead to them talking.
Damn these other people.
Damn them to hell. Yeah.
So, All Yesterday's Parties is primarily a music-themed podcast, and we are going to be discussing albums that we love and albums that we've never heard before. So, and we'll also be doing things such as describing...
Fantasy bands.
Yes.
It's a fantasy football for weak, pasty individuals who never got picked in school sports.
Yeah, I am mentally raising my hand.
Hello. Right here.
Yeah. So, as Mike and I go through each of the different ideas that we have for music-based discussions, we'll start having guests... joining us.
If you want to be a guest, then please do let us know. Obviously, if you live a million miles away, then you're probably in space somewhere. If you live on Mars, we'd like to hear from you, but we're not going to visit you.
No.
But if you live reasonably local to the Stoke area, then we'd love to come and see you and talk to you about music and that.
Yes. So you can tweet AYP Podcast. You can find All Yesterday's Parties on Facebook, and also AYP Podcast on Tumblr. So that's where we'll be posting...
listening notes.
Yeah, for every episode that we publish, there will be a post on AYP Podcast on Tumblr, which details where you can listen and buy the music that we talk about.
Because unfortunately, we're not actually going to be listening to any of it on the podcast, because we don't want to pay for the rights to this music.
Exactly.
What? We're not made of money.
No. So it's a music discussion, and then you can follow the links and listen to what we've been listening to.
Spotify and YouTube and the like.
Yes. And where possible, decent ethical purchase alternatives.
And why not?
Yes. This week, we have each recommended an album to one another.
Mm.
We have each listened to said albums.
Indeed.
And we're going to discuss them here.
I think we've come up with our general opinions of the record and also some specific favourites and least favourites from those albums. So starting off with you then, John, I believe, with your album that you've done give to me.
Yes.
For listening with my ears.
Those are all them words that you used.
Literally all of the words.
Mm-hmm. So, I recommended the new album by Emmy the Great, which is Second Love. And Emmy the Great came to prominence, at least as far as I'm concerned, via BBC Six Music, and was very much in the sort of the alt folk camp, and her first album, First Love, was had a very DIY sort of tone to it. Almost, there were some hints to a love of Bright Eyes' early work.
The early, slightly wonky, DIY, crispy, crunchy.
It really had that
indie
vibe
wonky.
To it. Yeah. And she followed that up with an album called Virtue, and it was a slightly more polished affair than First Love had been. And then she released a Christmas album with Tim Wheeler from Ash. And then we had a veritable desert of writer's block.
I believe she recorded a soundtrack during that period of time.
Oh.
I think she did. Not that I was researching her online on the way on the bus to come and meet you.
No,
not at all. No, I knew this because I know so much about music and that.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently she recorded a soundtrack, but she didn't have anything ready to nail down for an album until very recently.
Yeah, there's a foreword in the album by John Ronson, which is an interesting read. And so, yeah, so that brings us to Second Love, which I found to be a very interesting album all the way through. I think it's a very even album. I don't think there's a massive amount in the way of peaks and troughs.
I would concur with that. I'll be going into that more in depth later.
Yeah, but it's interesting because I think there's always been something about Emmy the Great's music which always seems to intimate a certain emotional distance from what she's singing about, even if she's singing about something very personal. There's something very precise and almost mathematical about the way the music all goes together. There's a certain sheen to the album which gives it a very almost cold sort of technological indifference. Even with the songs, like, you know, the songs are all about love and varying themes thereof, which is what she chose to go back to writing about. But there's also an element of commentary about the way technology has kind of inveigled itself into modern life. That's good words.
Enjoyed that. I enjoyed you saying that. It's very good.
It's hard for me to pick a least favourite out of an album of songs that are very consistent.
Well, let's save the favourites and least favourites. I'm going to give you...
Yes.
My overall opinion of the album.
Go for it.
Which was that I liked it.
Yes.
And that is both a positive and a negative.
Okay.
I found it hard to come up with any kind of passion for it.
Yes.
I liked it. And I agree with you totally. Yeah. It was a very, very consistent album.
Yeah.
At no point did I feel there was any noticeable peak or trough of quality. Now, it reminded me actually a little bit. A little way back ago, I think it was 2009, a band called JJ, not to be confused with JJ72, the band, or JJ the rapper.
Yes.
This is a two-person, it's a duo
okay.
called JJ, released an album called Number 3,
yeah,
which was similar to Second Love, very much a kind of indie, little bit of folk, bit of an electronic vibe to it,
yeah.
Very, very mellow.
Sparse,
definitely. But I heard that album just as spring was starting to set in.
Yes.
And while I was going through a bit of a tense patch, shall we say, I had a bit of a narc on with pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And that album was perfect for me.
Yeah.
It brought me down a bit.
Yes.
You know, it calmed my mood and it got me ready for the onset of proper spring. It was that April time that I heard it.
Yeah.
It got me ready for the onset of proper spring, the longer days, the brighter day, the better weather. And everything was just lovely about it. Now, Second Love, I heard for the first time just after coming back from Italy.
Right.
At the start of June.
After a magic holiday.
Everything was feeling pretty smashing, thank you very much.
Yes.
So I listened to that and thought, you know what? This is pretty much how I feel. This is nice.
This is
lovely. So it didn't quite have that same... I do feel that if I'd heard it for the first time under a different set of circumstances, I'd probably like it more.
Yes.
Because I don't dislike it, I just like it.
Yes.
And similar to, I think you were going to say, it's difficult to come up with a favourite and least favourite from what is a pretty much consistent album.
Yes.
But I'll let you... give me your favourite, and I'll give you my favourite.
Okay.
Start off with a positive. You know, let's lead with the good news.
And it's funny as well, because I think there's a few moments on this album where it almost threatens to really kick off.
Yeah, but never quite does.
It never quite kicks off, which I think that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I think if I was going to have to, I'd really stuck for a favourite. I think it's either Part of Me or Algorithm.
One of those two was one that I was entertaining as a favourite, actually.
Yeah, or it could have been Hyperlink, actually.
Hmm.
There's a wonderful lyric in there about all the people tapping keys where once they read magazines.
Mm.
It's a really good lyric, and it's a wonderful little piece of commentary.
It's funny.
Commentary.
I've gone for a different track as my favourite.
Yeah.
But again, it's not down to the tune, it's down to just a standout lyric.
Yeah.
I caught, but yeah, do you have anything more to?
I think possibly Part of Me. I think
okay.
I think that's probably my favourite.
Cool. My favourite, on a kind of similar tack, is the one that every time I actually look at the word, I want to pronounce it Phoenixes. It's actually Phoenixes.
Phoenixes, yes.
Because when I was listening to it, I was listening to it the second time actually. I was on the bus home from work.
Yeah.
And. Suddenly, there's one little couplet that just stuck out as I listened to it. It was, we thought that weight loss was survival. We thought that Vogue was French for Bible.
Yeah.
And it just made me think, in a way, and it was the lyric and the delivery made me think of Kirsty MacColl.
Okay.
Because it had a certain slice of life, folly of youth,
yeah,
kind of feel to it. A little bit of a witticism in there.
Mm.
And it just really... He made me smile.
Yeah,
I had a little smile on there on the number 17 bus back from Hanley.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
Yeah,
and I feel that parts of the album are not necessarily sonically reminiscent of Kirsty MacColl, but kind of stylistically reminiscent. And she does have that kind of everyday feel, but obviously it's more like it's like a Kirsty MacColl for the millennials.
Yeah,
because a lot of the song titles, Less Than Three, Hyperlink, things like that. It's very much it's obviously technology is being brought into the bosom.
Yes,
in this.
Yes,
so it is that kind of slice of life kind of thing, but very much for the Facebook generation.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting in that regard. I think she's an excellent lyricist, and I really love her vocal delivery.
But enough of the loving. Let's get down to the nitty gritty of saying what your least favourite track is.
And that's where I have the problem.
Would it help you at all to know that I had a similar problem?
Yes.
I've actually had to get right into a nitpicky kind of thing. There was one track. I'll lead with mine if it helps you.
Yes, that will help.
Right. My least favourite track, and it's not to any detriment to the track itself, because it's perfectly good. It's just there was a choice made that I didn't like. Because throughout the album, it's her voice.
Yes.
And it's kind of often kind of multi-tracked, so she kind of harmonises with the song.
Yes.
And it's very pretty, it's very nice. But there's one track where she actually has a guest vocal, a backup vocal.
Yes.
And I don't like it.
Oh, is that Swimming Pool?
Swimming Pool, the first track on the album, the first single.
Which is, oddly enough, it's the song that... I think she brought the song out a good... maybe a year or so before the album came out.
I'd like to pretend that I don't actually have an article by Noisy open on my phone in front of me to confirm that.
But you do, don't you?
I do, because I was trying to remember the name of the guy, Tom Fleming from Wild Beasts.
Mm.
And it's not that I dislike the vocal itself.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a perfectly all right voice, a little bit like Anthony the Johnson's.
Right, okay.
That's kind of like a slightly baritone, not kind of really strident kind of voice. It's an interesting voice. I'm sure it's very nice in its own context, but and this is kind of feeding to the Kirsty MacColl thing.
Yes,
I feel that with someone with a voice like hers needs, if she's going to have a male
guest vocal,
it should be something a bit darker and dirtier, you know.
Yes.
She needs her Shane McGowan.
Okay.
And I kind of feel that someone like Larky Mark Lanigan or Nick Cave.
Yeah.
Someone of that ilk, someone with a bit more depth. Gravel, definitely gravel would have been a better choice. And so just because of that, because it felt like a job half well done, it just kind of annoyed me ever so slightly. Not enough to ruin the song.
Detracted from the song ever so slightly.
It could have been better.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a B minus.
Yeah.
It's not a fail.
It's not a dislike.
But it's not the A that it could have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it help you at all?
No.
Yay! I haven't helped. Perfect record to date.
It's really difficult, I think, with an album that is so very, very consistent.
It really is. I mean, I like I say, what I just said there is so niggly, and no disrespect to Tom from Wild Beast. Your voice is perfectly nice. I just thought that someone else would have been a better fit. Yeah. So, you know, don't hate the player.
Don't hate the podcast either, please.
Or do, you know, yeah, any kind of strong reaction. Yeah. We're quite keen on at this point.
Feedback's always good.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I
go on, have a jab a finger into something. Not like that. Oh, no!
Ah! Oh, it's stuck. I think maybe Dance With Me.
Mm.
Because it had a slightly different vibe to other songs on the record.
And it's a bit...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
I mean, there's nothing I can strongly say for or against it, but I think the other songs on the album agreed with me more than Dance With Me did.
Fair play.
So I think that's... But yeah, it's that the album as a whole piece of work has a certain feel to it that's very evocative of feeling sort of emotionally distant from things about which are being sung.
Cool.
So,
right. I think we've thoroughly covered that.
That's Everything Great. Second one. I heartily recommend it.
I'm going to move on to. Oh, hang on. Let's do the very professional sounding Sting.
That's right. That's, you know, Sting, not Gordon Sumner.
Right. So let's move on to the album that I passed over to John, which is not an especially recent one. It was released in 2007, and I picked it up on a bit of a punt. Because there's a band that I'd seen performing at... Well, I hadn't seen them. I'd seen on the listings for various interesting-looking festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of quite near the top of the bill. I thought, oh, them again. And I'd maybe heard a tune here or there of... And then there's a little promoted thing on Facebook just saying, hey, you like interesting music? Why not check this out? They've got a sale on.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. I went on to their Bandcamp page, and every one of their digital downloads was available for $1, and they had a lot of stuff on there. So I did a quick bit of research, found a Stereo Gum article about ranking their albums, basically bought the most popular album from that article, and gave it a listen, and absolutely fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
The band is of Montreal. And the album goes by the spectacular name of Hissing Fauna, Are You the Destroyer?
That is a good album.
It's fantastic. There's a lot of great track titles on there as well.
Yes.
It is remarkable. It ticks a lot of boxes for me. Because it's got a bit of a Sparks kind of feel to it. That kind of off-kilter pop, where everything's just a little bit arch, a little bit odd, but still very much you can shake your booty to it a little bit. And there's a little bit of a krautrocky kind of vibe to it. There's one track in particular which I'll be talking about at length later, which very much is a very, very much indebted to krautrock. But I don't know a great deal about the band, I'll be honest with you. But I do know about this album. The main guy whose name I'll be frantically googling shortly, because I can never believe and remember it. He was having he's had a few issues with depression and such like. Kevin Barnes, there we go, Kevin Barnes, It was kind of a Divine Comedy or Bright Eyes kind of situation where there's a band name, but it's one guy and pretty much whoever he wants to invite. Which in the case of Hissing Fauna, Are You the Destroyer, is a lot of members of Elephant Six. And then members of his family, including his wife and his daughter. But yes, it's a lot of the album is quite explicitly about his struggles with depression and some of the chemicals that he took in order to help curtail the problems he was having. But set to a very, very poppy background. And that covers about the first half of the album. There is then a 12-minute interlude of sorts, which, again, I'll be talking about at length later, which neatly separates out the kind of indie-tronica first half with the bizarro funk second half, which is where Kevin Barnes gives over to his funk alter ego, Georgie Fruit. I am not making this up.
Wikipedia article right here.
That is mad.
The remarkable, yeah, Georgie Fruit apparently later is the name used for the subsequent albums Skeletal Lamping and False Priest, which I also own from that same sale. Thanks, Off Montreal.
Skeletal Lamping sounds like some sort of old medical practice.
Yes. I'm afraid we're going to lamp your skeleton.
Oh, dear me, no.
But yeah, Georgie Fruit, and it turned into kind of a almost prince-like this creature of pure id who just wants to have sex with everyone and claim that he's better than everything else. It's a very bizarre it's like crossover.
It's like me on the weekend.
Mild-mannered John, from Monday to Friday.
Sure. Weekend skeletally lamping all the ladies.
But yes, it's. I doubt that either of us are going to have the same kind of heart of neutrality that we just did whilst discussing. Emmy. I'm going to be interested to hear your opinions of the album as well.
I think you've actually pointed out some of the things that were really striking to me when I listened to this, because it just seemed to have, it had three little shifts, and the first shift was the shortest in that the first song, Suffer for Fashion, makes it sound like it's going to be like a slightly indie rock stomper almost.
Yes.
And then the lyrical themes seem to really change, and like you say, like the first half of it, the lyrics really preside over it as almost a kind of a Bright Eyes style confessional. And
especially there's one track in particular that the thing with this album is as the album title itself, Hissing Fauna, Are You the Destroyer, is very much continued over for the rest of the album with ridiculous song titles. Now Heimdall's Gate, Like a Promethean Curse.
Yeah,
that track in particular is very, very open lyrically about depression and antidepressants.
Yes,
it's a lot of the lyrical content is about basically pleading with his mental state to sort itself out, and also the chemicals that he takes in order to assist that to not do a number on him.
Yeah,
it's very, very explicit in that sense.
And I mean, you have the first track, and it feels very guitar pop in a lot of ways, and then it becomes a bit more synth pop.
Yes.
Whilst having all these, like I say, all these really confessional sort of lyrics. And they kind of, I think you get to The Past as a Grotesque Animal.
Mm.
Possibly Bunny Ain't No Kind of Rider.
Mm.
Once you get to Fabergé Falls for Sugar, that seems to be where the handover goes to Georgie.
It's the most obvious point at which Georgie Fruit takes over.
Yeah.
I do think that Bunny Ain't No Kind of Rider, you can definitely feel the handover. The whole Eva, you're never going to have me. You're just some faggy girl, and I need a lover with soul power.
Yeah,
you can feel the confidence, the swagger.
It's starting
setting
to,
in.
But to me, it kind of reminded me of like a cross between The Darkness and Flight of the Conchords.
It does start to get a bit of a parody feel to it, doesn't it?
Not
straight up parody.
Once all those really strong harmony vocals all come in, at that point, it really feels like Flight of the Conchords. It was the nearest comparison I could come up with because
okay.
Yeah. And again, I wouldn't say that in a disparaging way.
Flight of the Conchords they are brilliant because they write parody songs that are so loving to the genres that they're parodying. They're proper good songs. Yeah. They just happen to parody the things that the styles that they're in.
Yeah.
So I don't think in any way could comparing anything to Flight of the Conchords be disparaging.
Be a bad thing. Yeah.
In my opinion. So I
really enjoyed that handover, and it was quite startling because for those first sort of six or seven songs, I'd really been settling into that sort of confessional lyric groove.
It kind of knocks you out your chair a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, to have it suddenly switch over to fun synth harmonies, and it's kind of jarring, but it's a welcome sort of jarring because I also think if it stayed in the confessional mode for the whole of the record, it would have felt like quite heavy going. Even as light as the music is,
it could get pretty heavy.
Bogged down with the lyrics, yeah.
Especially the aforementioned Heimdall's Gate.
Yeah.
As a Promethean curse.
I mean, I love the opening lyric of "The past is a grotesque animal." The past is a grotesque animal, and in its eyes you can see just how very
wrong you can be.
It's a wonderful sentence, and that sentence on its own. I mean, that song's about 9 minutes long.
12.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that I found whilst listening to this with my earphones in, so much of the album actually, each track bleeds into one another.
Yeah,
so it becomes really hard to try and see.
I've been listening to it on my phone, actually, and the app that I was using, initially, there were breaks. Audible break of about a second between each track, just because of the app. But then he upgraded it, and immediately the album sounded even better. Yeah. I was liking it already, but as soon as everything was bleeding through into one great, kind of like, for the third time we will mention Bright Eyes. It's not that we're both massive fans or anything.
Oh no.
But
Mike didn't introduce me to Bright Eyes.
but Lifted, the way that album. A lot of the tracks feed into the next track.
Yeah.
It's a great way of really getting you invested in the album.
Yeah, it's a great way to appreciate it as a body of work.
But it does mean it's a sod to put any of your favourite tracks onto a complex.
Yeah.
I know. Some kind of editing software.
Yeah.
Right, I think we've had a great old chat here. So shall we get down to our favourites and least favourites?
Yeah, okay. What was your favourite?
I don't think it's going to astonish anyone, since I've alluded to it two or three times so far, but The Past is a Grotesque Animal is my romping home favourite from this album. I have listened to it both as part of the album and on its own multiple times since I bought it.
Yeah.
Because it still has that kind of... That is the handover track. This is where Georgie Fruit started to set in. It's kind of it's the caterpillar entering cocoon before emerging as a great big... butterfly.
You've got a three-song triptych, which is the emergence of Georgie Fruit.
Yes, pretty much. It's the Ziggy Stardust. It's the emergence of Ziggy Stardust, kind of. but it's a huge song. It's 12 minutes long, more or less, and it's got that pop thing, but it's also got a heavily, it's like Kraftwerk or Neu or something. But the two things really do feed in together. It's kind of like Scissor Sisters covering Faust. And whilst that sounds ridiculous, it really bloody works.
Yeah.
And every time I listen to it, new things about it astonish me. And there's that one point where the lyric goes, she gets hysterical, and then you get the... It's about 5 minutes in that starts, and that lasts for a further 7 minutes until the end.
Yeah.
And it almost gets trippy.
Yeah.
The way it's just constantly present, and it's hard not to just kind of, you either have to give in to the song or reject it. There's no middle ground with that song. You love it or you really don't like it at all.
You've got a certain amount of time to decide whether you're on board or not.
And I was very much on board. I had my one-way ticket in first class for that whole song.
I think The Past Is a Grotesque Animal is the song that stands out the most.
Definitely.
For me, I think.
But whether or not it's your favourite is another matter.
I think it is my favourite.
Mm.
I almost feel like I need to give it another listen at some point to really settle down my favourite and least favourite.
Mm.
I have to admit, because that's the one that I think I enjoyed the most when I was listening to...
I think any person listening to this album from start to finish, that's the one where they'll make their mind up about the whole album.
Yeah.
So it will immediately be an essential and central experience.
Yeah. It's in the centre of the album. I always...
Yeah, there's that as well.
I always love... I usually love a song that's in the middle of... like, smack in the middle of the album.
I have found in the past, with albums that I really like, that track 4 or track 6 are often absolute stonkers.
It's either track 6 or track 8 with me.
Hmm. But it's that kind of central... either early to middle, or in your case, middle to late, but not either end. It's somewhere in the middle. Yeah. There's got to be something that goes, oh yeah, are you still paying attention, son?
This is the heart of the record.
Anyway, we had a right old chat there, so let's get on to the least favourite.
Least favourite. Okay.
And I'll actually, but since I went first with yours, I'll let you go first with mine.
Okay. I think my least favourite was... could well have been the last track. I'm not sure as I was...
We were born again with Leafling. Write shorter song titles, Sunshine. Right? just sort yourself out.
I think the last song didn't resonate as well with me as all the album up until then.
Mm. Any further comment?
Again, it's really funny. I think sometimes when talking about different sorts of music, it's easier to articulate the stuff that I loved, and it's harder to put my finger on why I didn't like something as much.
You see, I'm a bitter old bitch, so I'm perfectly happy to tell you exactly what I hate and why.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were actually one song later than my least favourite track. Okay. I like the whole album.
Yeah.
But in this case, there are tracks that I adore.
Yeah.
I mean, properly. I mean, Past the Greatest Animal, love it. Yeah. A Sentence of Swords in Kongsvinger, love it. Heimdall's Gate Like a Promethean Curse, love it. The long tracks, don't love that so much.
Yeah.
All right. Once again, write shorter track titles, okay?
I mean, Suffer Fashion was a really good opening.
Suffer Fashion, brilliant. Sync the Same, also fantastic.
Yeah.
Bunny Ain't No Kind of Rider, brilliant. But my least favourite track is probably, and this is actually a single, but there are 5 singles off this.
5?
5 singles according to Wikipedia, thanks.
Wow.
My least favourite was She's a Rejecter.
Okay. One of the shorter song titles.
It's not because I don't like it, it's just it feels like I could see where they were aiming. And I kind of feel that a lot of it fell slightly short. They were shooting for Bowie.
Yeah.
They landed in Franz Ferdinand.
Which made his eyes water.
Yeah. And Franz Ferdinand's not a bad place to land.
No.
You know?
No,
and that rhymed, and you know it's true.
Yeah.
So it's still a good tune. It's just, it feels like, well, it feels like Sparks and Franz Ferdinand. As if that collaboration would ever happen.
I know,
right?
FFS. So... If that ever happens, somebody should let us know, because that will be off the chart.
Lols! it had higher goals than it achieved.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad tune, it's just not quite as spectacular.
You can hear the potential.
Yeah. But I do feel that the second half of the album I don't love as much as the first half. I like the kind of Indie-tronica confessional stuff more than the swaggering off-kilter funk of the second half. But I really enjoy the album as a whole.
Yeah, it's a nice handover, but it is such a surprise when you hear it the first time.
Yeah, so you've got Bunny Ain't No Kind of Rider to kind of settle you into the idea of, hang on, this album's taking a bit of a left turn, hasn't it?
and then it puts the accelerator on.
Whoa, now! So, yeah, I think on the whole, I mean, I get the impression you quite enjoyed the Old Montreal.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the Emmy the Great. I think I'd enjoy it more, maybe it was like sunning myself somewhere at a barbecue, having a bit of a chill in the sunshine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. So thanks, bud.
That's a double thumbs up from Mike and John.
Huzzah!
Hurrah!
We didn't hate anything.
Yay!
For a change.
Yeah. Well, you just wait till next week. Cheerio, everybody.
Tutty bye.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties with John and Mike.
That's what she said.
Yeah. The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.
What up, bro?